God has provided to us through Pastor Osborne, and I'd like to welcome him to the pulpit once again this morning.
This morning, the call to worship is from Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now let us spend a moment in prayer before we worship God. Let us pray. Our opening hymn is number 106B, 1 through 5. Oh, praise the Lord, for he is good. 106B, 1 through 5, standing as we sing. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Please be seated. Now, if you turn with me, please, to the Forms and Prayers book, to page 101. And the prayer in the middle of the page, where it says, prayed in union, beginning, Almighty and Most Merciful Father. Let us pray together. Almighty and Most Merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And so we are helpless without you. O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare us as we confess our faults. Restore us as we are penitent, according to your promises declared to us in Christ Jesus our Lord, and grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and devout life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Our assurance of pardon comes from Jeremiah 33, verse 8. Jeremiah 33, verse 8 says, I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. And God cleanses us from our iniquity and pardons us for all our transgressions through the saving work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The rule of gratitude this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. This is the word of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator or unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Our response song is number 530, Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord, number 530. Thank you. Let us bow together for prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, we ask you to grant us your Spirit for the hearing of the word. Help us, Lord, to believe every truth, and especially the truth that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Help us to turn from our sins. Build us up in the faith. We pray through the mediation of Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Amen. My text this morning is in Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. Let us give our attention to God's holy word. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down." And thus we end the reading of God's holy word. When I was growing up, my family had a garden, a vegetable garden. And so we grew in that garden things like potatoes and beans and corn and radishes and carrots and various things. And we, of course, didn't sell them. We used them for our dinner table. We stored some of them and ate them in the wintertime. At one point, we had some strawberries in our garden, and the berries didn't grow very well in that soil. So we stopped trying to grow strawberries. One season or two, we tried to grow watermelons, and that didn't work so well either. They came out about that big. So we stopped doing that also, because those didn't produce. They took up the soil and weren't productive. That's similar to what's going on here in this text, where the Lord Jesus talks about the necessity of fruitfulness. His church should be fruitful. Individual Christians should be fruitful. And all human beings should be fruitful for the Lord. We belong to Him, and He holds us accountable to live for Him and for His glory. So He expects fruitfulness from us. Our purpose in this world is to be fruitful for Him and to glorify Him. If the tree is not fruitful, the owner says, "Cut it down." So this morning, that is my title, "Cut It Down." First of all, cut it down for no fruit is found. Secondly, cut it down for it uses up the ground. Thirdly, after the probation, if there's no fruit, cut it down. First of all, cut it down for no fruit is found. In verse 6, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. He found no fruit on this fig tree. Even though it was a vineyard and it grew grapes, he planted a fig tree in that vineyard, and that was customary and still is, I understand, in Palestine. But the fig tree produced no fruit, and God's fig tree, of course, in the Old Testament period was Israel. God chose Israel out of all the nations of the world to be His own and to be His instrument to take His name to the world. And of course, Israel was given special favors. And some of those favors are mentioned in the New Testament in Romans 9, verses 1 through 5. I won't turn to that, but I'll mention some of those favors and gifts that God gave to his Old Testament people. Romans 9, 1 through 5 says that God gave to them adoption. He graciously chose them as his own among all the peoples of the world, not because they were better than other peoples, but it was just his choice. He gave them glory. They saw the manifestation of God in his glory and splendor more clearly than any other nation. He gave them his glory. He gave them the covenants he made, for example, with Abraham, Moses, Joshua, and David. And he gave them a covenant promise, and he said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. He gave them the law. It was revealed to them on Mount Sinai, the way that they should live. God revealed that to his people, Israel. He gave them the service of God, or the worship of God. He revealed to them how he was to be worshiped in that period of time through that sacrificial system, which involved the sacrifice of animals and the shedding of their blood, pointing to the eventual shedding of the blood of the Messiah, Jesus. He gave them the promises, Romans 9 says, including the promised land of Canaan, to which he finally took them. He gave them the fathers, Romans 9 says, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from which they came. He has given gifts to his people of today, his church. He has given us his word, the Bible, through the prophets and apostles. We have his revelation recorded. We can study it and learn from it and be saved through it. He gave us the sacraments. He gave us the New Testament style of worship, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth from the heart. He gave us the Holy Spirit in his fullness at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit who produces fruit in us and lives through us each day. And God gave to us his Son, who came to earth and lived a perfect life, died on the cross and arose from the dead, ascended to heaven, where he now is, awaiting his second coming. We await his second coming, he being the head of the church. And after having given these blessings, the Lord expects his people to bear fruit. The Word of God reminds us that to whom much is given, much is required. But in verse 6 of my text this morning, the owner found no fruit on this tree. Israel had not borne fruit, and Jesus was saying, Israel will be cut down. A difficult message, but Old Testament Israel had departed from the Lord time and time again, over and over. She had left the Lord her God, her covenant God, and gone after idols, after all the warnings, after all that God had done for her. Her people bowed down and worshiped the golden calf while Moses was up on Mount Sinai with the Lord. At first, they refused to go into the promised land after spies had gone into that land, and 10 of the 12 on the committee said, we can't do it. So they didn't. And they wandered 40 years in the wilderness as a result. They complained in that desert about the food and the lack of water. Later in their history, they killed the prophets who came from God to them to give them his word, which they rejected. And literally in this very day when Jesus was speaking, he was coming to the end of his ministry, and for about 3 years, he had taught them, but he was still being rejected. Israel had not borne fruit. There was a remnant, but overall, Israel had not borne fruit. And so he looks to the church today And does he find fruit? Are you producing fruit? Am I producing fruit? Is the church today producing fruit by the power of the Holy Spirit? Have you noticed, as I have, the zeal of the people in our country on the political left these days? They are so bold. They are not ashamed of what they believe. They speak out freely. I'm thinking their boldness and their zeal sometimes shames us. We have something much greater to speak about and to live for, and we should be zealous. My wife and I know of a Christian man who is a chef. And as you know, during the coronavirus, a lot of the restaurants slowed down and a lot of them went out of business, and he has had trouble finding work. He was offered this big job to cater meals to this large organization. In fact, it was an American professional football team. He was offered the job of catering meals to this professional football team. So you have 53 players on the roster, a staff of coaches and assistants. You have the medical staff and all the other support staff and whoever is with the team on game days. And he was offered to put out that spread for this team for all their home games, which is at least 8 games. You can imagine that would be a pretty good deal. But he said no, because he's a Christian and most of those games are on the Lord's days. He took his stand. He took his stand boldly for the Lord. He produced fruit. If no fruit is found, the Lord says, cut it down. Secondly, cut it down for it uses up the ground. In verse 7, then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? Fig trees usually produced fruit after 3 years. But this was not happening. And I'm reminded of how patient God is with us. How long does God give us the opportunity to repent and turn from our sins and live for Him and not for ourselves? 2 Peter writes about this. 2 Peter 3, 9 and 15. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. 2 Peter 3, 9 and 15. At that time, some were questioning the coming of the Lord because he hadn't come yet. I wonder what they would say today. But he had not come yet, and they were saying, where is he coming? You say he's coming, and he hasn't come yet. And Peter writes, he's patient. He's long-suffering. He's giving people a chance to repent and turn to him. And so he is with us. The Lord is merciful and patient. He gives us time to do what is pleasing to him. In fact, Lamentations 3, 22 through 24 says this, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. Lamentations 3:22 through 24. Because the Lord is compassionate and merciful, we are not consumed. And we thank him for his patience with us. So this tree was using up the ground, verse 7 says. Not only was it not bringing forth fruit, it was keeping another plant from bringing forth fruit. So in a way, it was like a double loss for the owner of the vineyard and the fig tree. He could have planted another tree there, and he wanted to, because this one was using up the nutrients and minerals from the soil and not producing. And so it is in business, in other businesses. The owner of a series of stores will have some stores that don't bring in as much income as others. And if one is losing money, then he will either have to shut down that store or figure out a way to make up for the loss of that store. If that continues, of course, he will have no business and he will have no money and he will go bankrupt. And likewise with an employer who has a lazy employee. Not only is it his lack of production, but it's also the fact that another person who is productive could take his place. And so it's a practical necessity. And God's patience will last only so long. A person in God's world who continues to reject Christ only has a limited amount of time to come to him. And we Christians only have a limited amount of time to serve the Lord and produce fruit while we're here on this earth. It's sad to hear of churches that are being abandoned, church buildings that are empty, sitting empty. And in many cases, it's true because that church, that congregation, has forsaken the gospel. And buildings sit empty and go up for sale and are used for other purposes because that congregation was unfruitful. That congregation turned from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and sold her soul. But we as individuals can be unfruitful too. Are we using up or wasting our space and our time and our opportunities here in this world? Of course, we all do from time to time. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we should not enjoy life. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have recreation and leisure. We all should. We all should have rest. We all should have enjoyment of certain things in life, of good pleasures, of course. But do we also see that we are good stewards of the gifts and abilities God has given us? Are we doing the normal things that we do, our work, our family life, our recreational life? Are we doing all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ? I'm not calling upon all of us to be missionaries or all of us to be preachers or whatever. Do we live one way on Sunday and another way on the other days of the week? Are we being fruitful? Instead of just using up the ground, we need to be fruitful. Thirdly, after the probation, if there is no fruit, cut it down. Verse 8 says, but he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. So the vine dresser asked for another year, a year we could say of probation. So he would dig around the fig tree, loosen up the soil so that the moisture could penetrate to the roots. He would fertilize it and try to help it produce for this probation period. Up to this point in history, the Jewish people, by and large, had apostatized from the Lord. So Jesus came to earth, and the Father gave them more time, and the Father gave them a fuller revelation of his will in the person of Jesus Christ, whom they saw face to face, and they heard with their own ears from his own mouth the revelation of God. Now, it doesn't get any better than that. And he was being patient with them. And here they were in this time of probation, I'm calling it. Not only that, but after Jesus ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit came upon the church in his fullness, and the apostles started preaching the gospel and carrying it to the ends of the earth. But for the most part, they continued to reject God's message. So the church should dig and fertilize. We must pray for the lost and be witnesses to them, working toward their salvation. We must be diligent in cultivating our own spiritual life with meditation on God's word and prayer and communion with him day by day, and encourage our fellow believers to grow in grace as well. The Lord gives revelation of his salvation to lost people. He gives the revelation of himself to the world for all of us to see. And he gives us Christians opportunities to be fruitful in this world. Verse 9, if it bears fruit, well. There were indeed some Jewish people who repented of their sins and turned to God, believed in Jesus as the Messiah. And by the Spirit, they brought forth fruit to his glory. So it is today. Some people repent and turn to the Lord, turn away from their sins, and they are saved. Some professing believers who have not been fruitful hear this word and change by the power of the Spirit and the word and begin to produce more fruit. If it bears fruit, well. But, verse 9 says, if it doesn't bear fruit, cut it down. That's the sobering message. Cut it down. Another 40 years or so, or almost 40 years, would pass. And armies would come into Jerusalem and break down the walls and destroy that city. And people would be killed. It was the precise judgment of God. We know that. He warned them. Jesus wept for them, in addition to his preaching the gospel. But most of them rejected him. And the Lord said, cut it down. And it went down. It went down because of their stubborn rejection of the message. But there's another time in which people are cut down. And that's the worst of all. And that's the day of final judgment. When those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and not borne any fruit at all will be sent to hell for all eternity. Most of you, my friends, and I have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know him. And we want to bear fruit. Sometimes. Sometimes we don't. But the Lord is telling us that we need to. And he reveals to us in his word that we can, in his power, do that. No one can bear fruit for God who is not connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. And so, in order for us not to be cut down, he was cut down. He was cut down and nailed to the cross, where he suffered that cursed death, where he suffered the wrath of God that is due to us. But he arose from the dead, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father, saying to us, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me will bear much fruit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask you to grant us greater faith. Grant us the strength of the Spirit and the power of the Son of God, that we might walk worthily of our calling and bring forth fruit for your glory. Amen. Let us sing number 396. Gracious Spirit, Dove Divine, number 396. We have the privilege and blessing this morning of observing the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and I'll begin by reading the account in Mark's Gospel of Jesus having this first supper with his disciples in Mark 14:22-26. Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Lord Jesus Christ has given two sacraments to his church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And these sacraments are visible signs and seals of the gospel. They preach the gospel to us and supplement the preaching of the word. They are visible, whereas the word appeals to our hearing. These sacraments appeal to our other senses and explain more fully and in a supplementary way the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They help us understand the promises of the gospel. And the big promise is that God will forgive our sins through his Son, Jesus Christ, and grant us eternal life through Christ's one sacrifice on the cross. We believers eat bread and drink wine in remembrance of Christ and in obedience to his command. And as we take part of this meal, we are reminded that we believe God's word, that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And in this supper, we feed on Christ's body and blood, which was shed for us as we come to the table. God, the Holy Spirit, works in the supper so that the body and blood of Jesus nourish us. The Spirit grants to us all the glorious benefits of Christ's sacrifice on the cross to those who participate by faith. So as we come to the table, we meditate on the offering of Christ's body and blood, and we remember that it is through him alone that we have forgiveness and everlasting life. We are to examine ourselves as we participate in the supper and have communion with our Lord. We are to ask ourselves if we repent of our sin, if we are aware of the wrath of God against sin, if we remember that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Lord declares in his word, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to those, to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." So we must humble ourselves in repentance as we come to commune with the Lord Jesus. Furthermore, we think about this. Do I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation? Is there anything in me that I think is worthy of salvation? Of course, the answer is no, and we have to remind ourselves of that. Do I believe that my sins are forgiven because of the work of Christ alone, in no part due to myself? Do I believe that I'm saved by grace through faith, not by works? Am I a member of a local congregation of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have I made vows before the congregation to serve him and to be in fellowship with other believers? And we need to ask ourselves this. Do we resolve to live in faith and obedience before the Lord and in love and peace with our neighbor? Do we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus Christ? If you can answer yes to these questions, then Christ will welcome you to eat this bread and drink this wine or juice. However, if you answer no to any of these questions, if you do not repent of your sins, if you do not put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, and if you are not a member of his church and a particular congregation, and if you have no desire to live a holy life, you are warned in God's word not to participate in this supper. However, we don't want to discourage anyone who is a true Christian and sincerely repentant and trusting in Jesus to come to the table, for none of us are perfect. We are all sinners. We all come to this table on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. All of you here today who are sorry for your sins, who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as members of his church, and who earnestly desire to live a godly life, are invited to this table. So I invite you to eat this bread and drink this wine and feed upon Christ in your hearts by faith. Let us pray. God our Father, we thank you that you promised to be our God and to take us as your people. And we thank you for this covenant meal. We thank you for your Son who laid down his life and took it up again to save us, to grant us eternal life. And Father, we ask you to use these elements of bread and wine to reinforce the gospel message in our hearts. We pray for your Spirit to work. We pray for your grace as we eat and drink. Lead us in our meditation and fellowship with Christ. And Father, forgive us, for we have sinned against you. We have offended you. We have broken your laws. Our thoughts and deeds and words have been sinful. Be merciful to us, we pray. Help us to partake of this meal with sorrow that our sins nailed Jesus to the cross. And yet, let us partake with joy that through his redeeming work, we have peace with you. Amen. Let us sing number 203 in preparation, number 203, verses 1 through 3. 203, 1 through 3. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread and broke it, gave it to his disciples, as I, ministering in his name, give now to you. Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me." And then Jesus took the cup, and after having given thanks, he offered it to the disciples, as I, ministering in his name, offer now to you. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Father, thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for loving us from before the foundation of the world and calling us your own. Lord Jesus, we can hardly think of words to say that a man would lay down his life for his friends. But we do thank you. Holy Spirit, continue to work in us. Conform us to the image of Jesus, we pray. Give us the energy and desire to be more like him. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Help us to be merciful to others, we pray. Amen. Hymn number 203, verses 4 and 5. 203, verses 4 and 5.
Go to the Lord in our congregational prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We come to you this morning to thank you for your plan of salvation, your works of redemption. We are unworthy of your mercy shown and given to us each day. We acknowledge your sovereignty, that you are our creator, our provider, our sustainer, and sanctifier, and our redeemer. All that we have and are comes from your gracious hand. For who can ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus and his righteousness that has been and is imputed to us each day. That covers us for our sins, our transgressions, and our shortcomings. We thank you that we can come into your presence with boldness and confidence and assurance, fully trusting you that you will receive us because Jesus' blood has been shed as a one-time sacrifice to make us clean, righteous, and justified before you. We thank you that Jesus is our great high priest who can and does sympathize with our every weakness, who has been tempted as we are, yet is without sin. You know our condition. You know the conditions of our forefathers before us, that we are dead in our sins and trespasses and cannot come to you unless you take our heart of stone and replace it with a regenerate, believing heart of flesh that is responsive to your word and life-giving spirit. Sanctify us, Lord. Create in each of us hearts that desire to walk in your ways. Your ways of truth, humility, justice, and mercy. For the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, and giving insight for living. Uphold us in our doubts, our concerns, and our every weakness, be they spiritual or physical. Draw us ever closer to you, the rock of our salvation. We thank you that you watch over us for your fatherly compassion and love shown to us, and the stability we have, knowing that your grace preserves us not only in this life, but also for the eternal life to come. A grace that was founded and secured by you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before the foundations of the world. Help us to grasp the truths you tell and show us in the sacrament of communion, that we would feed on them and be spiritually nourished, not only today on Communion Sunday, but every day of the week, acknowledging that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and apart from him and his sacrificial love and atonement, we can do nothing. Help us to daily ponder and meditate on your word and holiness. Equip us with your Holy Spirit to continually put on the new man, and help us as we battle to put off the old man and his sinful desires. Protect the members of our church from the temptations of the devil, from the deceiving ways and lies of the world, and the weakness of our own flesh. Lord, we thank you for your church here in Penteo. We pray that we would be a faithful church, that we would be a light and witness to the surrounding community, and that you would bless our fellowship with one another. Help us to encourage and build one another up in faith in our love to serve you and each other. We thank you that Pastor Osborne could be with us today to bring us your word and lead us in worship. Will you continue to equip him and grant him strength and guidance for the task you put before him? Lord, we ask that you watch over and grant strength, patience, and peace of mind and spirit to Scotty and Vanessa and family as they and us continue to wait for the proper documents to arrive. We pray that there will not be a long delay so that the Wrights would be able to soon continue their travels and arrive at their home here, and Scotty could begin the calling you have set before him to minister to the needs of your congregation here in Pantego. Will you grant him wisdom and strength as he seeks to fulfill this calling? We pray too, Lord, for continued and complete healing for the James and Esther Fulkerson family. We pray not only for physical healing, but also for emotional and spiritual healing for the trauma they experienced. We pray for the continual safety and protection. We pray for the safety and protection of Mark and Carla and family and those who are involved with mission work in Uganda. We pray that those involved with the attack, the perpetrators, would be apprehended and be sorry and remorseful for their crimes, that your spirit would convict them of their sins, and that they would be drawn to Jesus' work of redemption. We thank you too, O Lord, that for the safety for your all-sustaining hand and arm and watching over for those that were involved in the robbery in the local business here too. We see, O Lord, how the hearts of man are wicked without your spirit. And yet we pray too, O Lord, that here too, that those who are responsible for this would see their error of their ways, and your spirit would work in their hearts too, and they would be drawn to you, and they would not continue in the ways which are not pleasing in your sight. And we thank you too, O Lord, that as we see that the forces of evil are strong, and yet they are no match for your sovereignty, that you will hear too, and that we can trust in your all-sustaining arm. We pray too, O Lord, that the work of the missions would continue and go forward throughout the world, and that they would be protected from the evil one. We pray, Lord, that your church throughout the world, for those who are persecuted for their faith in you, will you protect and watch over them and use their witness to strengthen your church and call others to a saving faith and knowledge in your Son, Jesus. Lord, we ask that you bless the classes meeting held this week in Carbondale, Pennsylvania. We ask that you would guide and direct the discussions and bless the decisions that are to be made. We pray, Lord, for the work of your Spirit under one who is under church discipline. We pray for a softening of heart and a desire to worship you and acknowledge your lordship over all of life. We pray too, Lord, that you would bless the efforts being put forth by the building committee and a building project and the thoughts and input from the congregation. We pray that your name would be honored and glorified, and in your time, and if it be your will, that progress can be made for a way forward that would be blessed by you and used by you for the furtherance work of your church, your kingdom work done here in Pantego. Lord, we thank you for the country we live in and for its many freedoms. We pray for those who have authority over us, and we pray for godly leaders who acknowledge you. Man's wisdom is foolish in your sight. Your word tells us that man's sin is the root of all his problems. Man's brokenness cannot be fixed by the power and wisdom of man. All man's striving apart from you will accomplish nothing of permanence. And at the end, he must give account to you. We pray, Lord, that in our society and in our leaders, that there would be a turning and acknowledgement of you and your word, the only true source where man can find direction and meaning to life. We thank you for the comfort and peace we can have knowing that you reign sovereignly over your creation. For the king's heart is a stream of water in your hand, and you turn it wherever you will and use it for your purpose and plan. Help us to be watching and waiting for your return when you will make all things right, when every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To you be the honor and glory forever and ever. We ask, Lord, that you accept our orphans. Help us to be faithful stewards, for all that we have comes from your hand and faithfulness to us. We pray that the gifts received will be good and pleasant in your sight and be used for the further work of your kingdom work. We pray too, O Lord, that you would bless the gifts that are taken up for the covenant youth, that here too that they would seek to acknowledge you in all their ways and would commit their lives to you, that here too, O Lord, that their lives might bear fruit and bring you honor and glory. We ask all of those things in the forgiveness of our sins and in Jesus' name, amen. There are two offerings, one for the general fund and one for the covenant youth. And after the offering, the song is number 119P, I Have Followed Truth and Justice.
Thank you.
following the benediction, we'll sing 572, the Gloria Patri, 572. Now let's receive the Lord's blessing. The God of peace, who brought up again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.